Okay, so this is from the Shvilei Pinchas on Purim. I told you there's two editions. In this old edition, it's Maimer 17. So that's, I'm reading out of this one. And you have it in Maimer Chavtes. Bitol amale klipas gaiva al yedei Purim shachol b'yamim gimel aleph vav and hay. Gavalik Torah. There's only certain days that Purim can fall out on. It can fall out on Tuesday. It can fall out on Sunday. It can fall out on Friday. It can fall out on Thursday. And somehow, those days, 3, 1, 6, and 5, the 4 days that Purim could fall out on, right, corresponding to Gimel, Aleph, Vav, and Hey, which means haughtiness, corresponds to how we defeat Amalek, because Amalek is haughty. So the very days in which Purim could fall out is our response to Amalek. But let's see. Let's take it slow. Okay, the Pasuk says that Haman went out at that time. He was overjoyed when he heard that things were looking up for him. Right? He's invited to the queen's party, and he's all excited, and everything's gavaldik. And then, of course, he sees Mordechai. And the Pasuk says that about Mordechai, he's sitting b'shar ha-melech, v'lo kam v'lo za. Mordechai doesn't get up. Mordechai doesn't budge. Nothing. V'yimalei Haman ha-Mordechai chema. And Haman becomes enraged. Okay, this is in the fifth parak. So says Rav Pinchas Friedman, Nira lefarish, mikra kodesh zeh. Let's understand this Pasuk. Behektim levar mashamatzinu b'megilas Esther, kama pamim. Who was asking me? You or you? You were asking me about the Shar HaMelech? Yeah? Okay. But we were all hacking on it together. Yeah, so Yosef was asking me last week, what's with this Shar HaMelech? Mordechai is always sitting at the king's gate. B'Shar HaMelech. So what's the Indian of sitting at the king's gate? Like that, was that his post? That's where he was assigned to sit? Many times in the Megillah, it stresses that Mordechai is sitting by the Shar HaMelech. V'tzarech lahavin ha'inyan b'zeh. What's the Indian of the Shar HaMelech? I contemplated the following idea. Ki Purim de Prazim Shechol Biyud Dalet Adar. The 14th of Adar. Yeah, what he's calling Purim de Prazim. What does he mean by Purim de Prazim? Not Shushan Purim. Purim of the unwalled cities. Right? The first Mishnah in Megillah tells us what? That some Jews celebrate the 14th, some Jews celebrate the 15th. If you're a walled city, you celebrate the 15th. If you're an unwalled city, then you celebrate the 14th. So in Chutz La'aretz, we celebrate the 14th, right? In some parts of Eretz Yisrael, you celebrate the 15th, okay? So he said the Purim, what we call regular Purim, not Shushan Purim, the 14th of Adar, falls out on one of the following 4 days. La'olam eino nofil rak b'yamim aleph, gimel, hay, and vav. Purim always falls on a Sunday, on a Tuesday, on a Thursday, or on a Friday. No, this year Purim falls on a Thursday. Okay? Ubavade she'enza b'mikra v'tzarech lahavin ha-remez b'zeh. Why is that? Right, how did the calendar, again, everything has a reason. So why is the calendar locked in to these 4 dates, these particular dates? Okay? So let's see. He's going to give his own explanation. There's a beautiful Torah from the Yir HaKadosh. That's what he says here in parentheses. He says, look later on in the Sefer, and you'll see the Yir HaKadosh had an amazing explanation of why those 4 days has to do with what was created by the Sheshes Yimei Bereishis on those days. We're going to take a different approach. But Pinchas Friedman, the Belzer Chassid and Tzaddik from Eretz Yisrael, is going to have a different approach. So he says in Os Aleph, Kedei levar kol zeh nakti mashi yudua misvar makadoshim, ki klipas amalek hi gaiva. If we know one thing about Amalek is gaivadik. They're so haughty. Haman is so self-absorbed. Haman does not realize what's happening all around him. He's just so caught up in his own world. And he's so full of himself. And he can't accept anyone not literally submitting before him, bowing before him. Shechein Amalek b'gematria Ram. Amalek is gematria 240, which is the gematria of the word. Right? Ram. Also suffix. But Ram. What does Ram mean? Ram means what? Elevated, haughty. As the Pasuk says in Devarim Parakhas, Viram Livavecha Vishachta. You'll elevate your heart. Vishachta what? What's the end of that Pasuk? Vishachta who?
Hashem.
It's Hashem Elokecha. A haughty person doesn't think about God because he's so busy thinking about himself that he's not able to think about Hashem. I'm just realizing now, going back to that Torah we learned from the Stuchina Rebbe, what else is the gematria of Ram? How else can you calculate Ram? What's a mem sofit? 600, so what's Ram? Ram is 800. Right? Remember, we had all those things about 800, that in the Megillah it says they killed 500 men and then they killed 300 men. The big Reish of, right? The big Reish we said is four times Reish is 800. We had all those Ramazim about 800. So Malik, which is called Ram, again, another hint to 800. But again, the Pashup Shah, what he's saying here is that a Malik is Ram. A Malik is Gaivadik. Malik's full of themselves. You have to understand, a Malik's waging a battle against Torah, and Torah is for people who are humble. It's one of those basic realities about how Torah works. Go talk to Rav Shechter. Rav Shechter is oozing with humility. Rav Shechter doesn't hold of himself. He doesn't. Anyone doesn't have Purim plans. Like, you can go to Rav Shechter and ask him to come to his house for Purim. He'll say yes. I sent someone to Yehuda Becker, who was in our shir last semester. Are you from Milwaukee, for those who know him? I asked him, what are you doing for Purim? He said, he wasn't sure. I said, go ask Rav Shechter if you can go to his house. Like, no. I was like, yeah, I'm telling you, he'll say yes. So he went, he's going to Rav Shechter for Purim. He's like so excited. You know, Rav Shechter, like, if he doesn't know something, he's the first one to say, I don't know. More than Rav Shechter, could explain anything. He always says, I don't know. Humble, humility. Moshe kibel Torah mi-Sinai. Moshe is humility. Sinai is humility. Torah is compared to water, says the Gemara, because water trickles to the lowest point. Humility. So Amalek, whose whole mahus is to be against Torah, Amalek, whose whole world is against Torah, is the antithesis of humility. Rafu yadehem in a Torah. They fought against us and caused us to weaken our hands from Torah. I'll tell you something that I realized learning a sefer over Shabbos called the sefer Ur Yitzhar. Very gvaldic sefer with lots of Ramazim. And it was written by a yid from Bnei Brak. So in the sefer Ur Yitzhar, he explains something, and I'm just going to add a drop to it. What level were the Jews on when we left Mitzrayim? 49th level of Tumah, right? We've heard that before. On the 49th level, we didn't fall to level 50, right? Why couldn't we fall to level 50? What's the typical explanation? If you fall to level 50, you can't get out. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh writes in Shemos Perek Gimel Pasuk Ches that before Mashiach comes, we're going to fall to level 50. We're going to fall to level 50. In the 50th level of Tumah, Stuchina Rebbe once on a... told you this once on Purim Katan, was darshaning how the 50 states of America correspond to the Shar Hanun, the 50th level of Tama, and how there used to be 48 states, and then there's Hawaii and Alaska, and Hawaii is hot, and Alaska is cold, and that's a Gehenim Shal Shelig, and a Gehenim Shal Eish, and a whole Torah, a whole shtickle Torah, the 50, how Western culture is the 50th gate of Tama. There's a lot to say about that. It's not all Leitzanis. There's a lot of real Torah there. So the Rechaim HaKadosh says, so how are we going to be able to get out of level 50? Meaning, the explanation of why we didn't fall to level 50 in Mitzrayim is that when you fall to level 50, you can't get out. So now you're telling me that what? Now you're telling me that before Mashiach comes, we're going to fall to level 50, and we're going to find a way out. So what's different about a Jew today than a Jew in Mitzrayim? How do we get out of level 50? What do we have that Jews in Mitzrayim didn't have? No? Purim, what else? The Torah. Good. No, you're good. You're in a good place. That's good. It says your head's in the right place. Right? We have the Torah. They didn't even have the Torah. It's true. They didn't have Purim also. It's a talk of good kasha, how they survived in time without Purim. Right? But they didn't have the Torah. They literally didn't have the Torah yet. They only got the Torah when they left Mitzrayim. So since we have the Torah, when you have the Torah, you can get out of level 50. Very, very quickly. I'll just tell you very quickly. A Malik is trying to bring us to level 50. How tall is the gallows that Haman builds for Mordechai? 50 amos tall, right? 50 amos tall. The pasuk says, "Zachor eis asher asal lecha Amalek." Remember what Amalek tried to do to you. The Svarim HaKadoshim say that what? "Zachor eis asher asal lecha Amalek." What's the matter of lecha? 50. Amalek tried to bring you to level 50. Amalek is working to bring us to the 50th level of Tumah. That's what Amalek is working on. That's what Haman is trying to accomplish, right? And how does a Malik do that? How does a Malik simultaneously bring us to level 50 and make sure that it works? There's only one way to make it work. Because what's the antidote to level 50 of Tumah? We just said a minute ago, it's having Torah. So therefore, a Malik, see, we focus on a Malik trying to kill us. We focus on Haman trying to kill us. But we forget, when a Malik first attacked us, the Gemara says, they fought us in a place called Refidim, which the Gemara says, Rafu Yadeha Min HaTorah. Because if we have Torah, level 50 doesn't scare us. That's what I understood from the Sefer Or Yitzhar. If we have Torah, then we have the response to level 50. It's when we're weak in Torah, when we don't say, Lahudam I saw Ora, Ora Zu Torah, and we don't have Torah, and we don't yet have Torah, so then what? then we have to be concerned that what? You have to be concerned that level 50 is a threat. But when you have the Torah, that's why Mordechai is a Gilgal of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is Torah. When you have strong Torah, then level 50 is not a threat to us. There are a lot of Ramazim about how Amalek corresponds to the Shar Hanun. A lot of Ramazim about that. Okay? But again, as long as we have Torah, we're able to fight back. Why are we talking about this? How do they get to this? Oh, because Torah is humility. And Amalek is Gaiva. Right? So it furthers that point that Amalek has to be against Torah, because the whole way that Torah is transmitted is through what? Is through the world of humility. Okay, let's continue reading inside. We're on page Kuf Tzadi Beis in the left column. V'chein Haman Mizera Amalek. Actually, no, your page is different. Reish Tzadi Dalid in the left column. Fifth line. V'chein Haman Mizera Amalek. It's on the first page. Haman Mizera Amalek Nizgal Ba'osho. Haman was full of himself with his wealth. L'dara Shekulam Yishtachavu Lo. So Haman commanded that everyone should bow down to him. That everyone should bow down to him. Zos Va'od, furthermore. When the king says to Haman, what should I do to the one who the king desires? Haman couldn't imagine it's anyone other than himself. Haman says in his heart, who could the king desire to do something good for other than me? Are you serious? Are you really so self-absorbed that you can't imagine the king cares about anyone and would ever want to reward or give kavod to anyone other than you? So therefore we understand the way to defeat Amalek is through humility. What's the humility of Purim? Let's see. Top of the next column. So therefore, of course, it's Moshe Rabbeinu who's assigned the responsibility of defeating Amalek. Like we learned the other day in the Yismach Yisrael, when Moshe's hands are up, we win the war. When Moshe's hands are down, we lose the war. Why Moshe? Because Moshe is, his whole essence is humility. Ki mi lanu anuv kamoshe. Who's more humble than Moshe? As the Torah says about Moshe, v'ha'ish Moshe anuv ma'od mikol ha'adam asher al p'nei ha'adamah. Moshe is the most humble man on the face of the earth. Right? He's anuv mikol ha'anuv ma'od. He's anuv ma'od mikol ha'adam. Mikol ha'adam. If you remember, we said once in that piece from the Imre Amis that Haman, the Gemara in Megillah says, Haman is called an Adam. Right? The Gemara says, Hallelujah Hashem, that Hashem stood by our side, Kikum aleinu Adam, when an Adam rose up against us. So the Gemara says, Adam below Melech. Right? Who is the Adam in this story? Who's not a king? It's Haman. Haman's an even greater threat than Achashverosh. So you could maybe say in this pasuk that Moshe is Anam Ma'od Mikol HaAdam. Right? If Haman thinks he's an Adam, so Moshe's humility is how he overpowers this Adam, this Gaivadik Adam. He thinks he's the heights of humanity, Haman. He thinks he's the greatest. The Yesh Lomer Kimitam Zehayanes Purim Bitul Klipas Haman Mizara Malik. So therefore, Purim, again, is the defeat through Mordechai and Esther, who also, as we'll see, are very humble. Okay? So now we have to explain. We know what we're trying to explain. Let's see how we do it. Inyan Zeh Yesh Lilmon Midivir Chazal Medrash. We can learn the following Medrash that compares Mordechai to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Habira. Ish, from the fact that it calls him an Ish. Malame Chaya Mordechai Shakul Bedoro Kemoshe Bedoro. Mordechai in his time was like the Moshe Rabbeinu of his time. Because about Moshe it also says Ish, right? Circle the word Ish. Vaha Ish, Moshe, Anav Ma'od. Harisha Yesh Gezeira Shava Shahaya Anav Kemoshe. Which pasuk does it use to compare Mordechai to Moshe? It picks the pasuk that describes Moshe Rabbeinu's humility. There's a lot of ways you could have compared Moshe to Mordechai. But it picks a pasuk that highlights his humility. L'chein k'moshe, Moshe nilcham v'hechniya klipas amalek v'midas anvasanuso. So just like Moshe, whose whole essence is humility, was able to defeat Amalek, Mordechai, in the same way, with his humility, is able to defeat Amalek. He quotes the Gemara in Chulin, Mordechai min ha-Torah minayin. Where is Mordechai hinted to in the Torah? Dichsiv mor dror. Umitargaminan mira dachya. It says by the spices of the Ketores, what does it say? Mar dror, which literally means pure myrrh. Myrrh is a spice. Umitargaminan mira dachya. Right? Dachya means pure. Pure myrrh. Right? But you see the word mira dachya, it sounds like Mordechai. Mira dachya. Sounds like the letters of Mordechai. V'yesh lomer shenirmas v'pasuk mar dror. Why is this the pasuk again that hints to Mordechai? Because mar, right, is the opposite of Ram, the guy of Avamalik. The Ram is Shebegodla Anvasanuso Nasa Dror. Dror means also what? Dror in this context means pure, but like in Parshas Bahar, it says by Yovel, Ukrosem Dror. Yeah, that's what's written on the Liberty Bell. Ukrosem Dror, proclaim freedom. Dror means freedom. So you know what Mar Dror could also mean? Freeing yourself from Gaiva. Freeing yourself from Ram, from feeling that you're the king of the world. Hashem's the king of the world. I'm just a simple basar v'dam, I'm a human being. Nishtachrer miklipas amalik. Mordechai helped to free us from the attitude of amalik, which is gematria Ram. So Mordechai is humble. Where do we see that Esther is humble? Again, it has to be true for both of them. V'chein Esther mora almida sanava. Esther is also humble, because the Gemara says, Hadassah Shema. What was Esther's real name? Hadassah. Hadassah. Yeah? V'lama nikras Shema Hadassah. Why is she called Hadassah? Shayu'umo sa'olam korano sa'al shum istahar. She's called Hadassah. Her real name is Hadassah. Why is she called Esther? She's called Esther because the nations of the world called her based on the moon. Istahar means the moon. She was named for the moon. Why was Esther named for the moon? Perish Rashi. She's compared to the Arech. She's compared to the moon. Yafa Kelavana. Yafa Kelavana. She was beautiful like the moon. She had a glow like the moon. Right? The moon's very beautiful. The sun we don't really interact with, but the moon is very attractive. You're not supposed to stare at the moon. It causes you to forget your Torah. Not sure what that's about, really. Think about that. But the Svarim saying you're not supposed to stare at the moon. But Esther was beautiful. She had a glow to her like the moon. So they called her Esther, even though her real name was Hadassah. V'yadua ki halavana romezes hamidas anava. What do we know about the moon? The moon alludes to humility. She'ein la'or mishel atzma. What? Originally the moon, that's true. Originally the moon learned its lesson. The moon and the sun were originally equals. Hashem made the moon small.
So it wasn't
it was humbled. It was humbled. That's true. That's true.
It was makavalit.
Yeah, it sounds like it's makavalit. No, that's a good point. You're making a good point, Josh. Right? But now the moon knows, meaning until a person is put in their place, they sometimes, right? The problem with the Baal Gaiva is it takes a lot to help the Baal Gaiva like realize he's a Baal Gaiva. Until he really put the Baal Gaiva in his place, he always has a spin. He always has a take on something. He always has a different way of trying to explain his behaviors. Until he really has to face the facts. The moon knows, my light is not my own. Right? I like to say, the moon can't be gaivatic about his light. It's not your light. You're just radiating, you're reflecting the light of the sun. Right? The moon knows it. The moon knows it to be true. She'ein la'or mishal atzma. It doesn't have its own light. Rak mimashem mekabelas me'ashemesh. It receives from others. The moon is compared to which of the Sviros and to which biblical personality? Who else is known for the humility? David HaMelech and the Sphira of Malchus. Right? In the ten Sviros, the Sphira of Malchus says in the Zohar, Leis lei migar mei klum, it has nothing of its own. Malchus is the lowest Sphira, so that means when all of Hashem's Hashpa is coming down to the world, Malchus is a Kli, it's on the receiving end. David HaMelech, even though he's the king, but he's a Kli. He sees himself as a vessel to receive the light of Hashem. So therefore Esther, whose name Esther means the moon, right, is exactly this idea, is humbled like the moon. As the Gemara says in Chulin, Sha'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Li'areach, Hashem says to the moon, Zil likru tzadike b'shmech. Let tzadikim be called by your name. Yaakov HaKatan, Shmuel HaKatan. Right? The moon became what? The Ma'or HaKatan. Originally, there were Shnei Ma'oros HaGadolim, like Josh said. There were two great luminaries. The sun and the moon were equal in size. But the Gemara says the moon was made small, and tzaddikim, who are humble, like Yaakov, like Shmuel HaKatan, like David HaMelech, like Esther, they're all named for the moon. It's an expression of their humility. Okay? Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Sha'akon Liyad Bidbaro. Me'ata Yesh Lomar Kisegulas Purim Hilachni Asamalei Klipas HaGaiva. So therefore says Rav Pinchas Friedman, a gavaldic idea. What days of the week is Purim celebrated? We said it's Sunday, it's Tuesday, it's Thursday, or it's Friday. Right? Or if you put them in a different order, it's Tuesday, it's Sunday, it's Friday, it's Thursday. Why are we putting them in that order? Because Tuesday is Yom Gimel, Sunday is Yom Aleph, Friday is Yom Vav, and Thursday is Yom Hei. It spells out Gaiva. The 4 days which Purim can fall out are days what? Which are connected to Gaiva. which corresponds to Gaiva. Because the avod of a Jew on Purim is to love every Jew, to think every Jew is him, right? To surrender himself to Hashem, Adlo Yalda, to realize I'm not the greatest thing in the world. Not false humility, not depressed, not being depressed that I'm, you know, you're not supposed to convince yourself you're a bad Jew. That's not the avod. The avod is to feel the embrace. I have nothing of my own. Everything I have, like we learned in Yismach Yisrael, it's all from Hashem. And the other Jew, the guy next door who I think I'm better than all the time, I'm not better than him. He's a yid like I have. Right? That's why Purim falls out on these days. He says, we're in the top of the left column of the first page in front of you. Right? He says in the seventh line, he quotes the pasuk in Esther, Perek Zayin, the Haman nofel al hamita, Rashi tevos anava. You see it? The Haman is a vav, nofel is an ayin, al is an ayin, and hey is a hey. Right? Hamita is a hey. So it spells out what? Anava. What's that scene? Haman fell on the bed. What's that scene? Achashverosh comes back in after just finding out that Haman's trying to kill his wife. He walks back into the room after he's, you know, goes out for a little walk to try to catch his breath because he's so enraged. He comes back in, and what does he see? V'Haman nofel al hamita. Haman is fallen on the bed. He's fallen alongside Esther. And what does Achashverosh say? Are you going to attack the queen in my house? In my presence? Right? And 2 minutes later, Haman's swinging from the gallows. But the Rashi Tevos of Haman nofel al hamita, the first four letters spell out anava, because Haman has finally been humbled. He's sitting there on the floor begging Esther, please, please, save my life, save my life. Right? He's humbling himself. He was forced to humble himself. And that's the turning point. That's the downfall of Haman. Right? When he has to confront that humility, and it's too late for him to save himself. Klomer bizchus midas hanava shel Esther. Haman surrenders to the humility of Esther. The gaiva loses to the humility. The haughtiness loses to the humility. Nafal Haman merom gedulaso ad l'shol tachtis. Haman falls from what? From the heights of his greatness, of his grandeur, to the depths of hell, to the lowest of the low. Haman is crushed. Okay, and that's the turning point. Let's go back to Torah being humility for a minute. Okay, Oz Beis. Kabbalah Satorah Sheniknes Ba'anava Al Yidei Bitul Amalek Klipas Gaiva. All right, let's understand, again, the connection. We fought Amalek on the way to receive the Torah. It has to be that way, he explains. Okay? V'yish Levar Lefiza Hatam Shekibul Yisrael HaSator Me'ava Acharei Nesapur. We know, as we learned, Rabbi Balazan spoke about it the other day, that when the Jews were victorious in Purim, they re-accepted the Torah out of love. Why in Purim did the Jewish people re-accept the Torah? So he quotes the Gemara in Tanis that I mentioned a moment ago. Lama nimshlu divrei Torah lamayim. Why is Torah compared to water? Dechsiv hoy kol tzamei lechu lamayim. Right? Hey, hoy means like hey, like or like whoa. All those who are thirsty, come to the water. Lomar lecha comes to teach us. Ma mayim minichin makum gavoa v'holchin l'makum namuch. Just like water comes from a high place and trickles down to a low place. Af divrei Torah ein miskaimin el b'misha daito shvela. Torah also attaches itself to a person who's what? To a person who is humble. Al kein dafka b'purim. So on Purim, right? When we defeated the gaiva of Amalek, of course the response is we want more Torah in our life. Because Torah is the ultimate, it's the most humbling experience. Try, you know, learning Bava Kama. It's a humbling experience. It's hard. There's so much Torah out there. It's endless. No matter how much you learn, you feel like, I don't know anything. That's a humbling experience. So Torah is meant to humble us. So our appreciation for Torah and the value of being a humble person was increased by defeating Amalek. Okay, bottom paragraph on the page. V'derech zu yesh levar gama shetiknu lasos asam mishta v'simcha. Why do we make a party out of Purim? Shu mitzvah shtias yayin b'Purim. Why do we have a wine party on Purim? What does wine have to do with anything? So he quotes another Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara in Tainus over there again on Daf Zayin says, "Lama nimshlu divrei Torah leshlosha mashkin halalu." Why is Torah compared to these three liquids, mayim, yayin, and chalav? Why is Torah compared to wine and to water? Sorry, water and to wine. And to milk. Again, lomar lecha, to say to you, mashlo shemashkin halalu ein miskaimin el v'pachos shebekelim. Just like water and wine and milk are best kept in what? In simple vessels. If you put milk into a golden pitcher, the milk will spoil more quickly than if it's in a cheap milk carton. It just is. These liquids are miskaimen. They last best when they're put into cheap kelim, into cheap vessels. After a Torah ain miskaimen, el b'misha daito shvela. So too, Torah also lasts best in a cheap vessel. What does it mean, a cheap vessel? A humble vessel. A humble vessel. The more humble you are, the easier it will be for you to remember your Torah. I even find that when I listen to Rav Shechter speak, because he's such a humble person, I find that I remember the things that he says better. You hear the chiddush in that? If ram levavecha v'shachachta, if haughtiness causes forgetfulness, I find that when you hear a humble person speak, you remember their words better. It sticks better. You may not be humble, but because the person you're listening to teaching the Torah is a humble person, it sticks better. That's a wild thing. That's what I find. Again, that's just my experience. I find that when I listen to someone like Rav Shechter, I have a better ability to understand his words, even though he teaches on such a high level. Because you hear a person who's speaking with such pashtus, with such simplicity and honesty, and so real. So therefore what? Wine is something that have what? A mishtahayayin. And again, we remind ourselves about being humble. Mavura od begemara ki bas hamelach, shalas Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. The princess once asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, lama hator miskayamas dafka itzal alda mechuar shekamoso? A disgusting question. A princess once came to Rabbi Yeshua and said, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, you're not a very handsome person. You're actually quite ugly. Why would God want you to be so great at Torah? Why would Hashem want to keep His Torah? Right? Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya knew a lot of Torah. Why would you want to keep your Torah in such a what? In such an ugly vessel? So Rabbi Yeshua said back to her, why does your father like to keep his wine in such plain kelim? Why does he keep it in just plain earthenware? You know, your father's a rich man. Why doesn't he keep it in golden barrels? Why does he keep it in plain wooden barrels or earthenware vessels? So she said, because it preserves it better. So he says, exactly. Hashem gives me Torah because I'm not so attractive, because I'm not a Baal Gaiva, I don't have physical beauty, I'm not the most handsome guy in the world. Because of that, says Rabbi Yeshua, the Torah lasts by me much better. So the more humble a person is, the better the Torah sticks to him. And therefore Purim, which is the defeat of Amalek, is his amount of re-accepting Torah. Okay, just thinking out loud for a second. What's the gematria of Mayim plus Yayin plus Chalav? I don't know. I'm just. Let's do it together for a second. I'm just curious what we'll find. 90 plus 70 plus 40. 90 plus 70 is 160 plus 40 is 200. Yeah, that's right. 90 plus 70 plus 40 is 200. So what is that? I'm not sure. It's a resh. Maybe that's the resh of don't bow down to El Acher, the big resh. Vatal the resh with these three things. I don't know. Okay. Let's keep going. Okay, bottom paragraph on page resh tzadivav. V'yesh levar b'zeh ma'amar megillah. So now we can explain another gemara. Megillah daf yud gimel amud beis. Galoi v'yadua lifnei misha amar v'haya olam. She'asid haman lishkol shkolim al Yisrael. Hashem says, I know that one day Haman's going to try to buy Klal Yisrael with a lot of shkolim. So therefore Hashem, what? Hikdim shiklein lishkolav. Hashem preceded what? The shkolim of Haman with our shkolim. That we give shkolim to the Mishkan already, in the times of the Torah, right? Way before Haman ever came along and tried to buy Klal Yisrael. That was Hashem's way of preparing us to be ready to respond to Haman. Why the shekel? And what do we give when we give a shekel? Chaver, what do we give? You know what we give? We give a machasis a shekel. What is the lesson of a machasis a shekel? So he tells us, he quotes from the Torah's Moshe of the Al-Sheikh, who says in the name of Shlomo Halevi Alkevetz, I think we saw this in Yismach Yisrael, I think he quoted the exact same people, that the idea of half a shekel is that I am not a complete person on my own. Ki machasis a shekel romez al midas hanava. So therefore, again, another way that we beat Amalek is that Hashem prepared long in advance this whole Indian called the half shekel. Because Hashem wanted to teach Amalek that what? That the half shekel, our little offering of humility, is going to defeat your big gaivadik offering. Haman says, oh, I'll pay you an exorbitant fee. You're showing off, Haman. You're showing how rich you are. You think you can just buy your way to the top. You think you can just buy Klal Yisrael. Our little half a shekel of humility is worth more than all the money you're going to spend in the world. Again, humility wins the day. Okay? Oz Gimel. Let's go to the next column. Oz Gimel. So now we still have a question on the table, Chevra. Why was Mordechai sitting where? Bishar HaMelech. Why is Mordechai at the gate? What does a gate represent? A gate represents a person who what? Who's just a beginner. I'm just getting started. Let's see how he says it. It's beautiful. Hine yadua ma sheperish ha-Noam Elimelech b'Likutei Shoshana. In the back of the Sefer Noam Elimelech, there's a section called Likutei Shoshana. And he explains the pasuk. Pishu li sha'arei tzedek avovam odeka. Ze ha-shar la-Hashem tzadikim yavo'ovo. You recognize it? I hope so. It's from Hallel. Right? Pishu li sha'arei tzedek. We call out to Hashem, Hashem, please open for me the gates of righteousness. Avovam odeka. I wanna enter through the gates. Ze ha-shar la-Hashem tzadikim yavo'ovo. This is the gate of Hashem that tzadikim enter. What is the gate of tzaddikim? Explains the Noam Elimelech, a beautiful vart in humility. As Jews, we always have to see ourselves as beginners. Right? I've poked fun at it in the past, and I'll poke fun at it again. The Shana Bet guy who thinks he's like Mamish, the Gadol Hador, compared to the Shana Aleph guy. Right? Now, it's good to have a little bit of confidence, right? But a person also has to be careful that it doesn't turn into gaiva. You always have to be attached to someone bigger than you. So that you always remember, makiris makomo, it's one of the ways we acquire Torah, know your place. A person who's not attached to someone bigger than him, yeah? So I could say, oh, I'm 37, and you guys are, how old? I don't know, 20, 21, 19, 22, 24, 24, yeah? So I could think, oh, you know, I'm the Rebbe, you're the Talmud. So I have to attach myself to people who are bigger than me to remind myself, mostly, you don't know anything about anything. You don't know Shas, you don't know Tanakh, you don't know Halacha, you don't know Chassidus. You don't know anything.
So many.
What? No, but compared to the infinity, I know nothing. Compared to the infinity. I'm saying something chutzpahdik. I'm trying to make a point. What the Noelach is saying here. That a tzaddik, a true tzaddik, also knows that. A tzaddik was like Rabbi Nachman writes in one of the first pieces in the Sichos Aran, that the tachlis of knowing is that I don't know. Right? Yeah, it's already a statement from the Rishonim. Yeah, tachlis hayadiyah. The purpose of knowing is to what? To reach a level of ad lo yada. That's what we're saying on Purim. I don't know anything. And that's okay. That's okay. So where's Mordechai sitting? He's sitting Bishar HaMelech. He's sitting at the entrance. Again, HaMelech means, of course, Hashem. I'm at the entrance. You know what the Arizal, the Kisvei Arizal? Rav Chaim Vital, when he wrote the Kisvei Arizal, the teachings of the Arizal, the deepest teachings of the Torah, you know he refers to everything as Hakadamos, as introductions? You know that he refers to it as the Shmona Sha'arim, the eight gates? I mean, they're just gateways. We're just at the entrance. The Tzaddik says, Pishu li Sha'arei Tzaddik. Hashem, please open the gate. Mordechai, you're sitting at the gate. You're holding on the highest level. But Mordechai understood that the highest level is that I'm just sitting at the gate. Have you here? The highest level is knowing that you're just sitting at the gate. You haven't even started yet. You're about to take your first step. And that should be inspiring to a life of growth, not, God forbid, the opposite. Right? So, Pishu li Sha'arei Tzaddik. Avovam odeka. Ze ha-shar la-Hashem tzadikim yavovo. He quotes in the next paragraph, who else is sitting at the entrance? Who's 99 years old? He's been pursuing God since maybe he was 3 years old. He just circumcised himself at 99 years old. And where is he sitting? Where is he described sitting at the beginning of Parshas Vayera? Says the Noam Elimelech in the next paragraph, Vayera elav Hashem be'elon e'mamre, v'hu yoshev Pesach ha'oel. Kechom ayom, Avram's also sitting at the entrance to his tent. Of course, he's Pasha Pshat, he's looking for guests. But on a deeper level, it's saying that Avram, after doing the ultimate thing, 99-year-old man giving himself a delicate surgery because he wants to be connected and close to God, I'm a beginner. I'm just getting started. It's the same thing with Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the Torah. Moshe says what? Moshe says, Ata hacheloisa. Hashem, you've just begun to display your beauty before me, your greatness before me. Moshe, what are you talking about? You're 120 years old. You've been doing this for a long time. What do you mean we've just begun? But again, tzaddikim always see themselves as beginners. They always see themselves as beginners. Klal Yisrael have that practice. We finish the Torah, where do we go? Right back to the beginning. Because now at least I know I don't know anything. Let me start again. The more I learn, the more I need to learn because I know I don't know anything. So therefore, we understand now, why is Mordechai Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech? Again, because being Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech is the ultimate response to Amalek. Okay? All right, let's jump ahead to the next paragraph. V'hine yadua misvar. Okay, it's on page Reish Sadi Zion, and it's the first column, the middle paragraph. V'hine yadua. V'hine yadua misvar makadoshim. Kikachu darcho shel yitzhara. This is the way that the Yitzhara tries to get us. How does the Yitzhara try to get us? When we're doing great in our Yiddish faith, when we're showing up for Sunday Shir, and we're going to the Sechina Rebbe for Shabbos, and we're trying to daven with Kavana, and we're working on ourselves, and we're beating the Yitzhara, and we're taking Bava Kama seriously, and we're preparing properly for Purim, we're trying to do everything right. We should be very proud of ourselves. We should. I'm not saying it as a joke. We should be very proud of ourselves. So what does the Yitzhara do? The Yitzhara tries to get us to lose ourselves in that pride. What does the Yitzhara do? When the Yitzhara, right, sees that I can't get this Jew to become a Baal Gaiva, because even though he's proud of himself, he knows that I'm still Yoshe B'Shar HaMelech. You know what the Yitzhara does? Ozhu Mapilo Ba'anova the Klipa. He tries to get us to fall into a perversion of humility. What does it mean, a perversion of humility? What's a perversion? How does a person pervert humility? How do you pervert humility? Look what he says. Mapilu ba'anava deklipa. Bebechinas, ki hilel rasha al taivas nafsho. Klomar, harasha nasa anav ki hilel, kidei lemalos taivas nafsho. Sometimes a rasha uses humility, like Hillel, right? Hillel is known for his humility. So the rasha, meaning the Yetzirah, puts on the garment of Hillel, hazaken. Obviously it's a play on words. Right? It's a pasuk in Tehillim Paragyut. Right? Hey Lamed Lamed, hello. So the Rasha, the Yitzhara, says, I'm going to use your humility to achieve Taivas Nafsho, to fulfill his desires. What does he say? The Yitzhara says to a person, B'chasho, Shemigodol Shifluso, Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Chafetz Ba'avod HaShalom. Nobody, that anything I do, it doesn't really matter. And that becomes an excuse. So if I do some Averas, who cares? That's who I am. The Yitzhara can use that false humility to what? To try to get a person to slip up. Ulam kachi darchem shel tzadikim. So what does a tzadik do? A tzadik knows how to what? Shemishlavim anava v'gaiva dekedusha gam yachad. The tzadik says, of course, a Jew has to be humble, but a Jew also has to have a certain confidence that he can accomplish great things. Ki mitzad echad yesh lam anava v'shiflus b'darchei Hashem. On the one hand, as we've been explaining this whole time, humility seems to be like the main midah that a person needs to serve Hashem. Aval mitzad hasheni, yesh lam gaiva de kedusha. There's something called holy gaiva. What the pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim, vayigbal libo b'darchei Hashem. Vayigbal libo, to raise up his heart in the ways of Hashem. Gaiva? Yes. Holy gaiva. Confidence. To believe that my mitzvahs do matter. And my tefillah does matter. And my learning does matter. Yeah. That's right, you have to live, right, exactly. You have to live with Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. The whole world was created for me, right? And at the same time, you have to live with what? I'm Ofer Ve'efer. Yeah. The Gemara, actually, the Lashon of that Gemara, I'll just tell you a nice little remez that the Sfarim talk about. The Gemara says, Chayav Lomar Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. You're obligated to say. You have to believe in yourself. Chayav Lomar. Person is obligated to say Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. What are the Rashi Tevos of Chayav Lomar Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam? Ches Lamed Beis Nun Hey. Chayav Lomar Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. Ches Lamed Beis Nun Hey is, you don't recognize that word. Chalbana. What's Chalbana? It's one of the spices of the Ketores. What do we know about Chalbana? The 11 spices of the Ketores. The 11 spices of the Ketores correspond to Haman and his 10 sons. Yeah? What is Chalbana? Chalbana actually is a very foul-smelling spice. But the Gemara says that when you mix in this bad-smelling spice, but on its own, you would never, you know, you don't want to wear Chalbana, perfume, or deodorant. But when you mix it in, it has a pungent smell, but as part of the mix, it actually enhances the smell of the entire Ketores. On its own, it's not good. When you mix it in, it's very good. Yeah? So the Sfarim say, A lot of Chassidus talk about how Chalbana, what's the gematria of Chalbana? Ches Lamed Beis Nun Hei. And if Chalbana is like the most 95. Gematria Haman. Right? Chalbana is gematria Haman. So like I told you, the 11 spices correspond to Haman and his 10 sons. Chalbana is the spice that corresponds to Haman. Yeah? So we have to be able, it seems like v'nahafachu. The whole time you've been saying humility, humility, humility. You know, you're always a beginner. Don't let it go to your head. That's gaiva, that's a malik. But at the same time, chelbana, which is gematria haman, a Jew is obligated to say, he has to believe in himself. Chayav lomar bishvili nivra ha'olam. You have to believe that what you do matters. If Mordechai wouldn't have believed in himself, that would have been the end of Klal Yisrael. So there's something called holy gaiva. There's something called holy gaiva. That's why, I'm just realizing now, there's a Torah from the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov said, the Para Aduma, no, that's not how it starts. It starts like this. The Talmidim of Baal Shem Tov asked the Baal Shem Tov, if everything in Torah is eternal, because Torah is eternal, so how do we understand Para Aduma today when we don't have a Para Aduma? What is the lesson of Para Aduma today? Meaning I have to apply everything in Torah as an idea, even if you can't do it. Right, even though in Shir, I think we found the red heifer online on Thursday. No? Seth found the red heifer online? Who found the red heifer? For Seth? Okay, we still didn't purchase that. On eBay or whatever? Yeah? Fine. So, the Para Aduma, so the Talmidim and Baal Shem Tov said, what's Para Aduma today? So Baal Shem Tov said, we know about Para Aduma, it has an inverse property to it. That the one who prepares the Para Aduma ashes becomes Tamei, and the one who has it sprinkled upon him becomes Tahor. So what does that mean? How could the Para Aduma on the one hand make a person Tamei, make a person Tahor? How could it have two opposite qualities to it? So Baal Shem Tov said, because what does Para mean? What does Para mean? Think Pru Urvu. To be fruitful. To be multiply. To be successful. Right? Para means to be a little bit inflated. So Para Aduma has the ability to what? To make some people Tamei and some people Tahor. What does that mean? If you think that you're Tahor, if you think you're Tahor, you think you're a Gevaldig Yid, you think you're the best Jew in the world, yeah? And then Para, and it goes to your head, it makes you Tamei. And then you become inflated, it makes you Tamei. That's Gaiva. That's just plain old Gaiva. But if you think, nah, I'm the worst Jew, Hashem doesn't care about me, my tefillos don't matter, my davening doesn't matter, such a person needs a little power, needs a little confidence. When you sprinkle power on him, that makes him tahor. It teaches him, no, believe in yourself. Right? So if you're a humble person, if you're humbled, if you feel, then the para can be a healthy sense of gaiva. If what? If you're a baal gaiva, then para, if you think you're great, if you think you're tahor, then para, being confident, is going to make you tamei. So, Chaver, what do I want to add to that? I want to say that, why do we read Parshas Para after Purim? In the Dalet Parshas, after Zachor, right, we have Para. Why? Because that's exactly what has to be the takeaway from Purim. Purim has to be that balance of, on the one hand, destroying the gaiva of a malik, and that means the gaiva of a malik inside of ourselves as well. But on the flip side, we have to remember that what? We gotta believe in ourselves. We can't bow to Haman. We have to have the confidence to think that I'm not. I'm strong. I have principles and I'm not gonna compromise. Vayigba libo b'darchei Hashem, to lift up our hearts in the service of Hashem, to have a holy confidence. So lefi zayesh lomar. So now we understand the pasuk that we started with. Haman comes out and what does he see? Haman is he's mamish, you know, tuv levav, he's mamish besimcha. And what does he see? He sees Mordechai sitting b'shar ha-melech, and he sees that Mordechai won't budge, that Mordechai won't humble himself before Haman. So what does Haman see? He sees both midas. On the one hand, where does he see Mordechai? He's b'shar ha-melech, which is an expression of humility. On the other hand, Mordechai is what? So confident that what? Lo kam, v'lo za, he doesn't budge, he doesn't move. What Haman sees in Mordechai is that beautiful synthesis, that beautiful blend of what? Of real deep humility and also real confidence in the fact that he's a Yid. And when Haman sees that, Haman says, I'm toast. Chol zeh inenu shovali. I'll never defeat him. If this Jew knows how to crush the gaiva of Amalek and at the same time maintain a healthy self-esteem, there's nothing in the world that I can do to defeat such a Jew. That's the balance. That's why we read Parshas Para after Purim. Okay? The next paragraph, his Zeresh, his wife, and all of his cohorts, they say to him, Haman, make a gallows that's 50 amos high. Explains the Divrei Yecheskel, the Rebbe from Shinov. in the name of the Yismach Moshe. What was he trying to do? What was the advice? Make a gallows that's 50 amos high. Shebikshu b'koach tum asam lahachnez Mordechai gaiva. What? Mishem ama. Right? Tell Mordechai, you're the highest, you're the greatest. Again, just like there's 50 in negativity, there's 50 levels of tumah, there's 50 levels of holiness. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that Moshe Rabbeinu made it to level 49. So you know how they were going to try to destroy, Mordechai? By trying to say, wow, Mordechai, you're on the 50th level, right? You've reached the highest level. The 50 Amos eights, right? Mamish, you're holding by like the eights of Gan Eden, or whatever the Ramazim are, what they were trying to say to him. Yeah? Look how tall you are, Mordechai. Look how high you are, Mordechai. Yeah? But it didn't work. Again, Mordechai didn't fall for it. Mordechai says, I'm Bashar HaMelech. Mordechai was. That's why I'm saying Mordechai was on level 50. Mordechai reached the Shar Nun of Kedusha. Mamish, the highest level. But at the same time, Mordechai, at the same time, he knew, I'm Bashar HaMelech. That's my place. I'm a beginner. Like Avraham Avinu, I'm like the moon. Esther's like the moon. I'm like Mari Dachya, right? I'm humble. I'm simple. Fine. Okay, Chavar, let's wrap up the piece. Oz Dalet. So it says that Mordechai, Mordechai, after he goes for his horse ride, where does he go? Immediately he goes back to the Shahar Melech. Yeah, just turn to the last page. Haman takes the clothing and the horse and he rides Mordechai around the town. Right? And he says, Ah, kacha yaseh le'ish, Shahar Melech, chafetz bikaro. Look. Right, look what the king does for the one who he wants to honor. Yeah, he's giving a lot of kavod to Mordechai. Again, what's the plan? Why is Haman giving this kavod to Mordechai? What's going on in Haman's mind? Haman says, you know what? I don't want to give kavod to Mordechai, but if I give kavod to Mordechai, who told him to walk around saying, Kocha Yesh Elish? Haman's playing into it. He's trying to really build it up. You know why? Because he wants Mordechai to become a Baal Gaiva. But what do we find Mordechai does, says Reb Pinchas Friedman, right after he finishes his horse ride? Mordechai returns where? El Shar HaMelech. Right back to the Shar HaMelech. It doesn't go to his head. You can give him kavod. You know what was an amazing display of humility that I saw last Sunday? I went to the Eish Kodesh dinner. They honored Rav Weinberger. You know, 26 years he's been in the shul. You know, they honored him. They had a big fundraiser in his honor. They tried to basically reach out to every Talmud who he's ever inspired around the entire world, you know, to get a donation. Yeah, they made it. It was a kavadik event. It was a very kavadik event. And Rav Weinberger got up to speak. And with Mamish, with tears in his eyes, thanked everyone so much for giving him right? His whole life is dedicated to giving to others, doing for others. He gets up and he says, with such sincerity, you're thanking me? Look what you've given me. You've given me the opportunity to be your Rav. You've given me the opportunity to be your Mashpia. You've given me the opportunity to teach you Torah. Why are you thanking me? I should be thanking you. And he said, can you imagine? At this gala dinner, you know, this, who knows how much it costs to put together a dinner like this. And he gets up and he says, all this kavod means nothing to me. He said, all this kavod means nothing to me. Now, people could say that and mean it or not mean it. And then he said, right? And then he said, I just can't wait. Because there were like tons of ads, you know, in Mishpacha magazine leading up to the big Eish Kodesh dinner and all these ads in newspapers and, you know, Mamish, a big event, you know. A couple of days of a telethon, a fundraiser, and this, a live stream, you know, videos and everything. So Weinberger got up and he said, I can't wait for this Weinberger Fest to be over. He said, as soon as the Weinberger Fest is going to be over, we can just go back to shul. Just go back to davening together and learning together. You know. But does Weinberger not know that he's a chashuv person? He knows he's a chashuv person. He knows he impacts thousands of lives, right? But he also knows his place in the world. He knows that a person who's be'emes, a chashuv person, is a humble person. That's the Moshes, that's the Mordechais. Mordechai gets a horse ride, doesn't go to his head. He doesn't change his seat after that. He goes right back to the Shahar Melech. That's unbelievable. And that's again, and Haman goes home depressed. You know why? Because it didn't work. You can try to lift Mordechai up and try to give him kavod and try to turn him into a Baal Gaiva. It's not going to go to his head. It's just not going to work. Okay, I have our last os for today. Last section. Os hay. Yeah? Second column on the last page. Mordechai HaYehudi. Let's understand the Indian of Mordechai HaYehudi. V'yesh levar lefi zem mashenikra Mordechai b'chol ha-Megillah b'tor Mordechai HaYehudi. Why is Mordechai called Mordechai the Jew throughout the Megillah? Al-pi mashakosov b'ma'orei or. I'm not familiar with that sefer. I don't know who wrote it. In the sefer Ma'orei or, it says the following. Ki ha-mezgah pogem b'shem yud and hay. a person who's a Baal Gaiva damages the letters Yud and Hey, which is Gematria Gaiva. Yud and Hey is the name of Hashem, of course. V'yesh l'rami is Inyan Zeb v'mochemes ha-malik, ki yad al kes ka. Now usually we explain that pasuk in B'shalach that a malik is blocking out which letters? Of Hashem's name, Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey. Which letters does a malik block out? The Vav and the Hey. Right? But the pasuk also says that the hand of a malik is on the throne of Ka, of Yud and Hey. So in a certain sense, a malik is damaging even the Yud Hey. Right? What does that mean? Perish. Al Yedei Shem Yud and Hey. Hamachnia Klipas Gaiva. The Yud and Hey. Right? That either a malik wants to damage or maybe a malik can't damage. The way that we fight a malik with Yud and Hey is that the Yud and Hey that we hold on to is connected to the Gaiva of a malik. And that's the Milchama LaHashem Midur Dur. Says the Sefer Ma'orei Or, Hine Yehudi. Mordechai is always called Yehudi. However, look at the letters Yehudi. Hu Osios Yud Hey. You see it? See how he's spelling it? Yud is spelled Yud Vav Dalid. And Hey, he's spelling Hey Yud. So Yehudi is made up of what? Yud and Hey. And that's how we fight a malik. We fight a malik with what? With Yud. With Yud and Hey. What does that mean? The way that we fight a malik again is by being humble. So Mordechai is called Yehudi. He's the one who what? Who has the Yud and the Hey. He's the one who has the response to Gaiva. Because Yud and Hey is Gematria Gaiva. Umetzasi simuchim lakach bekesem ofir. In the next paragraph, I found a further hint to this idea in the Sefer Kesem Ofir, which is the Rebbe of Kamarna's Sefer on the Megillah. Ish Yehudi haya b'shushan habira. Kasav kein b'lashon kodesh. So here's what the Rebbe writes there. V'nikra ish Yehudi yud hey al shekafar b'gaiva. He's called the Yehudi because he rejects gaiva. As it says, when Haman says, v'chol zeh inenu shovel Mordechai, sitting at the gates. Yeah? His kirkanis Mordechai b'shnei to'arim. Again, he's called, so what's he adding from the Rebbe of Kamarna? He's putting together the two pieces we've been learning. Right? When does Haman say, all of this is failing, my whole plot is failing? What does he say? When I see Mordechai ha-Yehudi, Yoshev b'shar melech. He's saying a double expression of humility. Right? He's Mordechai Yehudi, he's Yehudi, he's Yud and Hey, which represents the antidote to Gaiva, and he's also what? He's b'shar melech, which is also, again, the expression of his humility. Okay? Last but not least, Od achas adabra na. Says Rav Pinchas Friedman, I would like to say one last thing, with your permission. Everyone gives permission? Okay, one last thing. L'ramez inyan zeh b'masha sholcha Esther l'Mordechai. Let's learn one more deep idea from the Bris Kahunas Olam. Esther sends a letter to Mordechai, and she says what? What's going on, Mordechai? L'das mazeh v'al mazeh. What is this? Right? What's this about? Explains the Sefer HaKadosh Bris Kahunas Olam. Mentioned it a couple times this year. Very deep sefer. She Esther biksha la'orer bekach kedushas Yisrael. What did Esther hint to when she said, maza va'al maza? Va'inyin hu. Ki yud beis shvatim kol echad yesh bo tziruf echad miyuz beis sirufei havai. Okay? Let's understand the concept. How many different ways can you write Hashem's name? Yud, kei, vav, kei. If you rearrange the letters, how many different orders can you put it in? How many different unique orders can you put it in? 12. Okay? And each shevet, 12 shvatim, think about it. Usually when you have four variables, you can do 24 combinations, but two of the letters are the same. You have two heys. Right? So yud and hey and vav and hey. You can do it forwards, you can do it backwards, you can do it inside out. No, that's not how you do it. You do 4 times 3 times 2 times 1. Right? Me neither. But I know if you have A, B, C, D, if you have A, B, C, D, you have four variables, so it's 4 times 3 times 2 times 1. So that would be 24 combinations. But here you have two of the same letters. You have A, B, C, A. And you have two A's. So it's 12. Okay? You can test it out. It's 12. Va'inyan hu ki yud beis shvatim. So again, the 12 shvatim, each one has what? Has a different arrangement of Hashem's name that corresponds to that shevet. Okay, that's not for now so much. But look what he says. If you spell out Yud-Ke Vav-Ke, so look, you have it on the page in front of you. Yud is 20. Hey, Aleph is 6. Vav Aleph Vav is 13. Hey Aleph again is 6. So what is that? Yud Kei Vav Kei spelled out is 45. We call that the Shema. Okay. If you do 12 times 45 for the 12 Shvatim, so then it's 540. Okay. He says if you add 1 for Hashem, it's 541 is Gematria Yisrael. Okay. So says the Bris Kuna Solon. So now, what does it have to do with what Esther said to Mordechai? Esther says to Mordechai, she says, Mordechai, ma zeh? Ma zeh? She asks Mordechai, ma zeh? Ma is 45, and zeh is 12. Right? So she says, Mordechai, ma zeh? Right? 45 times 12, we said, is 540. And then she says, ve'al ma zeh? What does it mean, al ma zeh? Times zeh is 540. Right? Ve'al ma zeh? What does al ma zeh mean? What does al mean? On or above, right? Maze va'al maze. What's above maze? What's above 540? Meaning go a little more, right? Maze va'al maze. So she's saying 541. 541 is Gematria Yisrael. In other words, Esther, in a code word, using Shem Hashem, is asking what's going on with the Jewish people. Now, why is she speaking in this funny way? Why is she speaking in names of Hashem? Ulefid, a very deep idea. Maze va'al maze. So explains in the last paragraph, based on what we've explained, we can explain, you know what she's saying? Ki Esther biksha mi Mordechai, she ashpia mi midas an vasanuso, bebechinas venachnu ma. Again, Bris Kuna Solom is a very deep Kabbalistic sefer. Maze va'al maze, that's her code way of asking what's with Klal Yisrael. Strange. Deep. Yeah? But maze va'al maze. Maze va'al maze. Yeah. So says Esther on a more pashut level, explains Rav Pinchas Friedman. What is ma? Okay. Don't talk like a Kabbalist. Ma is the expansion of Hashem's name. Yud Kei Vav Kei. No. Simple. What is ma? When Moshe and Aaron say in B'chumash, v'nachnu ma, what are they saying? What is the word nachnu ma? What are we? Right? That's an expression of humility. Who are we? What are we? Right? Klal Yisrael is complaining against us. Moshe and I, we're not so chashuv. We're not so important. Ma means what? Who am I? What am I? I can't define that. I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. So when Esther says, ma zeh va'al ma zeh, what's she really asking? On a simple level. Forget this fancy remez from the Bris Kuna Solom. She's saying ma. She's saying ma is a code word for humility. What's with the humility of Klal Yisrael? What's with the guy of Amalek? She understands that the whole salvation of Klal Yisrael is dependent upon what? Us living a life of humility and shattering the gaiva of Amalek. Ki kol echad miyud beis shvatim, that all 12 shvatim need to act with ma, with humility. Right? As the Gemara says, she'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashra shechinaso, Hashem doesn't put his shechina. Hashem doesn't place himself upon what? Upon those who are gaivadik. And therefore Esther says, ma zeh va'al ma zeh. Right? He's saying that the Remez is teaching us, not just she's hinting in this code word of Shem Hashem to 541 is Gematria Yisrael, she's saying, how are the Jews doing with their humility? Because if we don't have humility, then we're not going to be able to defeat the Gaiva of Haman. That's our weapon, humility. Torah is humility. Purim is humility. And therefore this year, when Purim falls out on a hay, right? Again, Purim falls out on either Gimel, Aleph, Vav, or hay. This year Purim falls out on hay. Yeah, so hey is the last letter of Gaiva. So Shbizocha to what? To go all the way to the end of Gaiva. To put an end to all the Gaiva in the world. To humble ourselves before Hashem. To have a deep, deep respect for each other on Purim. That's part of, again, the Achdus of Purim is part of not only having humility in the presence of Hashem, but humility in the presence of my friend. My friend who's not such a, I know I do more mitzvahs than him. I know I learn more Torah than him. I know this guy doesn't go to Minyan. I know he struggles with Shmira Senayim. I know he doesn't. On Purim, compared to the infinity of Hashem, we're all equal. I'm not better than him. I'm going to give him Shlach Manos. Matanos Lev Yonim. I'm going to show care and concern for the poor. I'm going to wear a costume to disguise the fact that we're all different, but we're all the same. Right? I can't walk around thinking there's me versus you. I don't know who me is. I don't know who you is. You're dressed up like a banana. I'm dressed up like a hot dog. And We don't. There's no difference between us. We're all complicated, and we should all be respectful of each other. We should all have humility towards one another. Okay. All right. So we should be zocha. We should be zocha to be humble Jews and reaccept the Torah this part. Shkoyach. Thank you very, very much for coming. I'm humbled by your continued commitment to Sunday Shir. Be'emet.